Well, those of you who've been listening to Popular Hikes for the last 3 years know that I like to cover as many topics as I can, try to answer as many questions as I can. And there's some things I'm just not qualified to talk about as much as I'd like to answer the questions. But we're very lucky. We have our friend, returning guest, Lola Velos, who is going to cover some topics that are unique to women while through hiking. Lola, welcome back. You last time you were on, we talked about the 275 days you spent on the trail, hiking the Eastern Continental Trail. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. So happy to be back on. And I think I have a little bit of a unique perspective when it comes to this topic specifically. So I'm excited to get into it.
There are certain things that happen on the trail that off the trail, we don't really even want to talk to them, right? Our biology, right? Let's face it, right? We still have to go to the bathroom while we're out there. Our bodies continue to function, right? That doesn't stop, but how do we deal with it? When I said we're going to deal with a topic here that I am just never going to be qualified to talk about, no matter how much I research it. What is it we're going to talk about, Lola?
All right. Today's topic is all about periods. I am super excited to talk about this because I have been diagnosed with a chronic inflammatory disease called endometriosis, which gives me the longest, heaviest, and most painful periods one can have. So I consider myself a little bit of a period professional. The number one question I get asked when I tell someone that I have endo and I just spent 275 days straight walking was, how do you deal with your periods on trails? So I'm going to give you my best period trail tips. I'm going to give you a quick breakdown of what you can use and some of my favorite period products. And then we'll just cover things that you can do when you're caught with your pants down, so to speak.
So Lola, let's dive right into this and tell us, okay, how does this work for you? Because you're being a woman and, you're dealing with the additional stress of having endo.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So my personal products I'll cover at the end here, but there's really five main ways, your standard period products, if you will. So, there's tampons, you can use pads, you can use menstrual cups, birth control, or period underwear. And there's really not a lot of other options other than that. So as far as tampons go, and I'm just going to dive right into this. And for the squeamish, it is biology that affects at least half the population here. So this is going to get a little bloody, but it's absolutely natural. And the less we talk about it, the more harm it does. So we're going to talk about it in depth and cover all the nitty gritties. So first, tampons. I would recommend using unbleached, unscented. It pretty much goes with anything that you're bringing outside. You don't want things that have like a heavy scent to them that attracts wildlife, and it's harder to decompose, get rid of. So it is something that you have to pack out. There are not tampons that you should be putting into the ground while you're outside. So it is something that you're going to have to carry. So that's something that people don't consider. While you're out there, if you're out there for a stretch, every single tampon that you'll use, you'll have to pack out. So that's going to have to get stored somewhere in your bag, and we'll cover where you can keep stuff like that. But it is something that you should always pack out. I recommend bringing different sizes. So if you have different flow changes, if you're lighter in the start of it and heavier at the end, you want to have things that will kind of cater to that. I would also bring extra, because I know it's happened to me more than once that I've just ran around saying, hey, do you have an extra tampon or do you have something? And if you're that person for me, I will love you forever. So you can be that person for someone else. You never know. They're actually really, really handy in medical emergency situations. It is good for absorbing blood. So if you have some kind of gash or even a nosebleed, something to think about. Maybe add a tampon to your safety kit. whether you menstruate or not. Next is going to be pads. Pads are just an absorbent cloth, so I would recommend bringing more than you think you need. You're out there on trail getting really sweaty. I mean, you're just constantly sweat. I am out there. So it's important for you to stay feeling clean and feeling fresh. So just bring, I would say, two per day, depending on what your flow is, but you'll really want to keep the wrappers that pads come in. Usually they have a sticky side. And if you're packing out your pads, which you should be doing, that sticky side can possibly rip the Ziploc that you're putting it in. So I would keep a wrapper, put the pad in the wrapper, and then you have so much trash that you collect as a hiker. Who doesn't eat like a bag of Fritos every day on trail, right? That could be considered a trash bag that you can't see into. You know, a Fritos bag's not going to leak unless if you put it in something else, it's good to disguise or cover whatever you're in. So, I mean, really, you can get creative here, but pads, tampons, these are all things that you should be packing out. I go a step further and I do pack out all my toilet paper. There's a lot of land here that you actually have to carry wag bags for. If you don't know what a wag bag is, it's something that you number two into and pack out. So things do get a little extreme, but these period products, unfortunately, if you don't want to deal with these, there's just really not a good way to get rid of them between stops. So it's just something that you're going to have to dig in. I can give you some tips on that. I personally use a menstrual cup. I have a huge list of reasons why I love them. Main reason being they're eco-friendly. You're not buying products over and over again. I carried my menstrual cup from Key West, Florida to Newfoundland, Canada. I carried it through the whole hike. It's super easy to sanitize. It's very light. It's silicone. There's nothing to throw away. It's, for me, the best option. You can also wear it usually for 8 to 12 hours versus sub 8. You should never have a tampon in for more than 8 hours. But wearing that period cup longer means that I'd pretty much only have to get rid of it twice a day, and you would just dispose of it the way you would any other human waste. If you don't know what a menstrual cup is, it's kind of like a shot glass sized silicone, like body safe. It looks like a little tiny cup. The ones I like have a stem that has a ring at the bottom of it. So you can just loop your finger through the ring and pull down. It's super easy. Other menstrual cups have stems and they're kind of harder to get rid of. I would also say you have to have clean hands for this. You never want to be handling anything without having just washed your hands. I mean, really, it's so important to keep things as clean as possible because you're already outside. You're so dirty. And, it's a delicate place down there. So anything can really throw it off. And if you've ever had a UTI or something dealing with that on trail, it could possibly end your trail. So as best you can, just keep everything sanitized. Make sure you're cleaning it. A menstrual cup can be boiled, to get sanitized. So if you have a stove, you can even use a stove. But because it's silicone grade and it's super safe, and you can keep reusing it, it's my personal favorite. But you can also use, if you're on birth control would be our fourth option here. Most birth controls come with a placebo week, so you can induce your period. There's actually no medical need to have this. Really, it's just a personal preference. So if you do choose to skip it, and if you have any concerns, chat with your doctor, but you can skip your period if you're on birth control. I would not recommend menstrual cups if you have an IUD, which is birth control that's inserted and it can, become dislodged or something if you use a cup with it in some cases. But birth control in general is a really great tool because you don't even have to deal with it. You can just skip it all together. And then lastly, there's period underwear, which I use in combination with my menstrual cup. Period underwear is just absorbent underwear. The downside to this is that it takes a really long time to dry, but it is eco-friendly. It's like a pad that you can rewash. So basically, when you're washing, disposing any of this, you want to follow leave no trace. So you have the 200 feet rule. So you want to dispose of things 200 feet between water sources, the trail itself, or camp spots. So you want to be pretty far away. So normally what I would do is bring just a bottle of water with me in the morning so I can use it. There's also attachments that you can use on your water bottles that make little trail bidets, and I'm a huge fan of those. But yeah, those are really the main things that you can use to handle your period out there, what you're more comfortable with, whether it be a menstrual cup that maybe you would practice at home a couple times, or if you're more comfortable with tampons. There are applicator-free ones if you don't want to use as much trash. But yeah, basically those are the main things. And what combination of those that you bring, totally personal and up to you, and depending on your period. So I have a period that's completely unpredictable. I don't know how long it's going to last or how heavy it's going to be. But most women, I would say, if you don't have a condition like I do, get it around the same time. So you can plan around it pretty effectively if you have kind of a consistent period. So for me, I would know, it's around this time that it's going to start, or I'll start having symptoms about a week before it starts. So I'll know in a couple of days. I have to make sure I know where my next town's going to be. I've got to know, if I can find a place to buy more tampons or pads, because those are actually really hard to find on trails sometimes. Like, gas stations will sell one type maybe sometimes, but it can be really hit or miss. So it is something you kind of have to think about. I've sent products in my resupply boxes before if I knew it was going to line up. But it is pretty much something you kind of plan around in my world. So do you have any questions so far? I know we're going real deep.
Yeah. Well, I'll ask this, as you're going over the different products. And I've spoken to other women who've talked about gear and their feelings about being females and buying gear. Do you feel like the manufacturers and the people who are involved in anything we need for the outdoors, are they giving enough attention to this topic with women? Are they, or is it just you're pretty much on your own?
We'll be back after a quick break.
You ever think about what might be in the water you're drinking every time you fill up your water bottles while you're in the outdoors? I try not to, and I really don't, because I use Sawyer water filters. Sawyer filter technology, because of their high standards, every filter is individually tested 3 times through the process. I've been using their permethrin product for years now to protect me from, quite frankly, ticks, and the picaridin to keep the flies at bay. Don't let bad water, insects, or a tick bite cut your trip short or even ruin it. Use Sawyer products. Go to your local outdoor retailer and ask for Sawyer products, whether it's a water filter, insect repellent, they're likely to have it. You can also go to Sawyer's website and read more about these incredible high quality products that they offer those of us who enjoy the outdoors.
So I feel like there are a lot of good articles out there on how to deal with your period on trail and some products, but I just don't think that there's any kind of product that's really revolutionized the period game. And it feels almost archaic in the way that we're kind of handling it. But yeah, I think the most progressive things I've seen and found are really just attachments that create bidets. That's not something that probably the person that made that was this would be great if you're on your period, but it is really great. Or really just I use brand generic name known as a shiwi. That's something that is a urination device, so I could pee standing up, and that's transformed my hike. I just take so much less time going to the bathroom because I don't have to hide in the woods basically. Mm-hmm. So I can pull my pants down. But other than that, we're still kind of dealing with things, and it got to the point where I was just kind of having to invent ways to deal with it on trail. They sell these heat patches that are supposed to be for your lower back or pulled muscles and stuff, and I would just put them on the front and use those as heat pads. They were heavy to pack out, but My cramps were so bad I needed a heat pad, and they sell those. So, you know, but then finding that on trail, you'd have to go to like Walmart or Walgreens or see, like, not a lot of hikes have stores that are going to sell what you need. I would say most of the time it'll be a hard bet to get what you need on trails. So there are just a lot of things you have to think about before you hit the road. I want to give shout outs to Kula Cloth though, because they're pretty trail specific. They make really great, basically they're antimicrobial like cloths that you just clip onto the back of your pack. They reduce the amount of toilet paper I have to pack out, just wipe, and they dry. And it's just the best thing ever. Cause before, I think most women I knew were using bandanas or something that like just, you know, was toilet paper. And then that's why you see toilet paper littered all over the trail, because someone pees and then they use like 10 squares of toilet paper for it. But they started making reusable pads recently too. And I just think they're the only ones that I've seen as a backpacking company that have really given attention to periods on trail. If another one exists out there, I'm hoping to find it soon. But yeah, really not a whole lot. This is definitely a blind spot for the outdoors, but I think it's just reflective of, you know, what the gender skew is in the community. So
yeah, you brought up Kula Cloth. I had Liz Thomas on, I guess it's been almost 2 years now, and she came on to talk about them. Yeah, they seem like a company that's ahead of the, or I shouldn't say ahead, maybe catching up and trying to make products that are specific to the needs of women.
Oh, yeah. And they're also a woman-owned company, so I'm a big fan of them. They gave me, I met one of their sisters, I believe, and I met one of them at Trail Days on the AT this year, and they got a special Kula Cloth that says, I hiked the AT, and all I got was this Kula Cloth. It's amazing. But yeah, if you guys are shopping for stocking stuffers or anything like that, it's not just for trail. Like there's so many times on a road trip, even you need something. So, yeah, super big fan of that. But yeah, like you said, there's really not a lot of companies doing much for us. What can we do right now? But I can say I've definitely reused or, invented a couple of ways. There's a handful of things that I've used, and this is just my list of, let's say you're on trail, you start your period, and you have nothing, you're not prepared, you got nothing to use. I've used my Kula Cloth before. The snaps, I just snapped around it like a pad, and now I'm glad they make pads, because that was my first thought. It was like, man, I wish they made reusable pads, but they're just cloths you can just throw in the washer just like everything else. So it's super easy. You would just bring like, you know, two, so you could swap them out. But I've definitely used my Kula Cloth in an emergency. I've also used bandanas. You usually have a bandana that you're hiking with. If you fold that up, you can definitely use that as some kind of absorbent pad for the time being. You could also stuff it with toilet paper, or I've even used a sock before. If you use a sock and you stuff that with toilet paper, there's a really old book that most girls like read growing up that's like how to, you know, what to do with your period. And that was a tip that I remember seeing in that book, is like, if you're ever caught, you know, without anything, you can use your sock, stuff it with toilet paper until you can get to a place where you can get a product. But sometimes when you're on trail, that's a day or two away, maybe more, so you got to get kind of genius. Also like rain jackets. My biggest fear when I started my period and I was sleeping outside in my sleeping bag, I was like, oh my gosh, my sleeping bag is so expensive, I don't want to get anything on it. So basically just having my rain jacket rolled down so that the waterproof side was touching me, sleeping with that like a skirt, kept me from getting anything on my, and so that's just a tip. That's just a good tip. Like you can use your rain jacket to keep, I guess if you have like an accident or something like that. But yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of things that you could do. What haven't I used as a pad at this point on trail? But yeah, as far as companies that cater to us, I would say definitely lacking. But yeah, pretty much aside from this, you just have to have like a little period kit, you know, mm-hmm. like a little artisanal selection of items. So basically, you have your period product. You would have ibuprofen. You're already taking vitamin I, but you might need a little bit more while you're cramping. Extra toilet paper. So if you have wet wipe access, if you can buy wet wipes, I definitely recommend wet wipes. It's much, much nicer. Odor-proof bag for trash. Like I said, you can use your old Fritos bag or anything that you have to, if you don't want to like see it. But you can also, if you're going maybe for a weekend hike, you can do a gallon bag and then just cover that with duct tape or something like that if you don't want to see it. But always pack it out. And then really just a trowel for your cat holes, which you'll be digging to dispose of. Only human waste. Yeah. So yeah, that's about it for my period.
Lola, thank you. Because when I talked to Wendy about this episode, her response to me was, you know what? I've always thought that. She's never done any long distance backpacking, nothing more than car camping at a campground. She goes, I thought about that. And I wonder, how do women handle that when they're on these Appalachian Trail through hikes? And she said, what a great topic. You said, the less we talk about it, the worse it is. It's not going away if we don't talk about it, right?
Yeah.
And I had this conversation with a woman I talked to 2 years ago, and she was covering the topic of clothing for women, that most of the outdoor clothing is pretty much made for men, and women have to see what they can fit into it, not knowing, mm-hmm. Women have different shapes, that there's different measurements that need to be taken into account. And she felt, talking about it brings attention to it. And eventually the people that are manufacturing and the people that are supporting the outdoor industry will understand this is something that's really important to this community and to help it grow.
Yeah. I mean, it's so important, and it's not just, I would say it affects everyone that has like a reproductive system. It's not just women that have, periods in my book. So it's really just something that we have to figure out how to make this friendly, because it is a big barrier for a lot of women and a lot of people with reproductive organs to have to deal with their period on trail and just not really know. Like, there are sources out there, but it's really, you don't get to see it in action. You might have a lot of questions, and it might be just because of the taboo kind of feel around it, and you might be just too ashamed to ask. And I think that's just the biggest part. That's why I wanted to come out on here and talk about it more, because this is not something that I'm going to get grossed out talking about, because it's something that I have to deal with. I know every parent that has, a child that has reproductive organs that's going to menstruate has to deal with it too. So it's really, it affects more than just the people that are experiencing it. So yeah, unless we talk about it, like we're just all kind of going through blind. And endometriosis is something I didn't know I had because no one wanted to talk about how painful periods weren't normal, and how, that what I was experiencing was actually something going on that I thought was normal, but is actually something that I think it was 10% of people with reproductive organs who menstruate like face. So this affects a huge part of the population.
No, Lola, I think that, a woman is thinking about doing maybe it's 1, 2, 3 weeks or even a through hike. What they need to do is not be afraid to talk to a woman like you who have, you've done a lot of hiking, several Colorado trail hikes, Eastern yeah. Continental Trail hike.
Yeah, I'm close to 10,000 miles now with dealing with my periods on every single one of those hikes. So,
right, they need to just ask the question and realize, wait a minute, she's gone through what I'm anticipating it might be like. Some of the apprehension I have about this, part of what might be keeping me off the trail, she could tell me how she's been able to do this.
Yeah. For me, it was the biggest things were really just knowing when it's coming, being able to plan around it, giving myself some grace. I was on a really strict time crunch in this past year, and there were, you know, about a week leading up to my period, I'll start having symptoms, very commonly fatigue, just chronic fatigue, lots of nausea, lots of just feeling kind of off. Your hormones just kind of feel kind of weird. But for the first couple of days, maybe you don't realize, oh, it's because I'm PMSing or it's because my period's coming. So I just blame myself. I'm like, God, I'm so lazy today. Why am I not pulling the miles that I think that I was going to do? What's going on? And then my period starts like a couple days later and I'm like, oh, okay, that all makes sense. But yeah, just giving myself a lot of grace, planning around it, planning my days off. They were always to accommodate for my period. My 0 days were always to accommodate my period. And really just having a lot of ibuprofen handy and starting to take ibuprofen the moment I start to feel a little bit of cramps, not after, because then it's a little bit too late. If you take it like first sign, you kind of build up the ibuprofen in your system. For me, I have to take a lot. So I try not to take vitamin I any other time except my period, because I do have to rely on it pretty heavily to get through. And if you live in a legal state, I would say CBD, THC, those are always, always, always going to make me feel better, but it's very personal. I would just say those products are pretty great. They're just not super shelf stable. So like if you get like CBD topicals or rubs or anything like that, just keep in mind they might not keep on trail the way you think. So it can get hot, they can melt. Some of them have temperature requirements, but stuff like that. But other than that, there's really, you just, you know, don't be afraid to bleed. You know, don't be afraid to get a little gross. But yeah, it's not something that should keep you, hopefully, from thinking that you can do something like this.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on and talking about this topic that I think a lot of people, quite frankly, are afraid to talk about, unfortunately. If there are some aspiring female hikers out there, is there a way they can reach out to you, possibly on social media, and ask you questions?
Yeah, I'm always happy to answer any period related things. You can reach out to me. My Instagram is @radiatelove. So it's @radiatelove. And yeah, I'm always happy to chat. We have a pretty unique group now that we started with two other hikers who are trans, called Trail Cuties. And you can find us at Trail Cuties, but we'll also be providing, I guess, just additional resources for how to deal with periods and hormones and stuff like that on there as well.
Lolo, as always, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. And I look forward to our next conversation.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, everybody, get outside and have some fun. Please do me a favor and be safe out there. I'm working hard to build up this following here on this podcast. Be safe out there. Thanks for listening. If you haven't done so yet, go to our website, papabearhikes.com. Listen to past episodes. Check us out on social media. Go to our YouTube channel, Martin Outside. All those links are there. In addition to that, you can buy our book or see what you're missing out on if you're not a Patreon member yet. Remember to get outside, have fun, and be safe. This episode of Papa Bear Hikes has been brought to you by Avalon Publicity. Avalon Publicity, increasing the digital footprint of content creators and skilled professionals via website development and social media services. For more information about Avalon Publicity, go to their website, avalonbusiness.org. That's avalonbusiness.org.